flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So we're going to move on here. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. As you know, Dave, he joins me every Thursday at noon, and we appreciate same. Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Sorry I'm not there with you. Sounds like it's delicious.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump right in this, Rafi. 2025, January, we are 1 month down, and according to your stats, one of the lowest crime rate months in a long time.
Right. So everyone knows, you know, how horribly January 1st started. But when I looked at the end of the month stats, it really struck me how safe January was. So I asked my staff to go back and compare the last 11 Januaries, going all the way back to 2015, to see how January of 2025 ranked. And we compared it from a violent crime perspective, and we compared it to the property crime incidents going back 11 years. And what we saw was, for the month of January in 2025, aggregate violent crime rate was the lowest that we've seen in 11 years, and the same can be said of the property crime rate. So violent crime, which consists of homicides, non-fatal shootings, carjackings, and armed robberies, there were 49 major violent crime incidents reported in January of 25. This represents a 74% decrease over 22's reported crime, and the decline that we've shown in January of this year compared to the previous low water mark for violent crime, which was 2019, was a 30% decline in violent crime. So it's a testament to some of the things that law enforcement is doing right. And the same applies when we took a look at the aggregate property rate, the property crime rate. So property crime consists of auto theft, vehicle burglaries, business burglaries, and residential burglaries. And there were 405 property incidents reported in January of 2025. That represents a 27% decrease to the previous low water mark of 2018. So what we're seeing is that when you take a look at the property crimes reported in January and compare it with the high water mark of property crimes from 2023, it represents a 74% decrease in property crimes over the past 11 years in this city when you take a look at the month of January. So the city's gotten off to a positive start in 2025. And, you know, our hope is and the expectation is that we continue to build upon that success as the year goes along.
Yeah, a munch trend is a munch trend. Not to rain on that parade at all, but you had a significant weather event that was, I think, very influential of folks' inability to move around. But we'll see, because
absolutely,
I think February thus far is stacking up to be some of the same situation. And then we get into Mardi Gras, which is always an interesting time. Some years kind of ugly, and other years not at all, right?
Right. Right. Well, I think what we're seeing, and I know, you know, you've noticed that, you know, what happened on January the 1st made everybody reassess everything that they're doing. And, you know, those numbers that we amassed in January, that wasn't necessarily because the police department was doing anything wrong before that or really changed anything significantly. They are, you know, from a security standpoint, absolutely, things have and are continuing to change. But from a policing standpoint, you know, the police department and their partners with Louisiana State Police, they're remaining vigilant. They're using the same policies and procedures that has resulted in significant crime decreases over the past 2 years, and we're seeing that continue through the first month of 2025.
Raphael, do those numbers that you said for historic low violent crime rates include the 14 killed and some three
yes,
dozen
yes,
injured?
Yes, absolutely.
So
I mean, we can't take that away. We left them in there, and we're
wow,
still down. You know, so, I mean, that is, you know, again, that's the thing that struck, because people, and rightfully so. I mean, what happened on January the 1st will never be forgotten. But, you know, to put this in some perspective, you know, there was nothing that law enforcement could have done to prevent it, what happened on January the 1st. But, you know, what we've seen over the past 2 years is law enforcement can do things and have done things that have brought down violent crime and property crime. But to take a look at, you know, what occurred in January of this year, I mean, Newell's right. Yeah, we lost the better part of a week because of the snowstorm, and that absolutely influencing. But in the past, we've had hurricanes and other weather events that have influenced and skewed things as well. So, you know, 2025 started horribly with what happened on January the 1st. But what we've seen as that month played out, you saw law enforcement stick with their game plan, and we continue to see significant declines in not just violent crime, but property crime. And going back 11 years, that's the best month of January that the city's experienced from a holistic standpoint in the aggregate of property and violent crime.
Ever. Wow. So impressive. Raphael Goyeneche is our guest here on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen, along with Newell Norman, here at the host committee booth on Radio Row as we get ready for the Super Bowl. We'll be back to talk about Super Bowl security and much more with Raphael Goyeneche coming up next here on WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso as partners with us for this event. And we're on Media Row at the host committee booth, and they have been very gracious to allow us to broadcast from here. And it's worked out well, I think, for everyone. Everyone's been excited, friendly. It's been over the top.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
In so many different ways. We are
great
joined by
Yeah,
we are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, there was a case, State of Louisiana versus Jared Crowther, a guy that had been sentenced many, many years ago, 14 years ago, brought into court by the former law partner of Jason Williams in order to get resentenced. None of it made any sense. None of it passed the smell test. They went ahead with it anyway. And recently, the Fourth Circuit ruled, the AG intervened, didn't like what she saw and said she was going to do something about it, intervened, filed the briefs on the state's behalf, and it turns out she was successful on all fronts. Tell us about it.
Right. So we talked about this case last August. Mm-hmm. So this Jared Crowther pled guilty in criminal district court in April of 2010 to armed robbery and drug charges, and he was an habitual offender, and his guilty plea was for 30 years. So that's something that he acknowledged his guilt and agreed to that sentence, 30 years. He pled guilty. But it wasn't until May of 2024 where Crowther's attorney, as you pointed out, Jason Williams' former law partner, wanted to get him resentenced, and he wanted him resentenced before the new law that was passed went into effect. The new law would have required the Attorney General's office to be notified of any resentencings before that hearing could occur. So that law took effect in August of 2024. So Jason Williams, former law partner, filed a motion to recuse the DA. So he didn't want Jason Williams' case handling office handling this case, and it went. It ended up with the judge deciding to notify the Attorney General's office. The only problem is the judge notified the Attorney General's office at an address that they had never, ever resided in. So they didn't show
That's
up to
interesting.
Court. So that, yeah. So the judge decided to appoint his former campaign manager, who's a criminal defense attorney working for the Loyola Law Clinic, to be the special prosecutor. So under Louisiana law, a prosecutor is not allowed to engage in criminal defense work because it's an inherent conflict of interest. It's established both in the Code of Criminal Procedure and in the Louisiana Constitution. The judge is supposed to follow the laws of the state of Louisiana. It's fundamental. Everybody knows that. But the judge still appointed a practicing criminal defense attorney to be the special prosecutor. And the reason that you don't want a criminal defense attorney making decisions about prosecutions is because our system is supposed to be adversarial. So the state of Louisiana is usually represented by the district attorney's office or the attorney general's office. And if the attorney general's office had been notified, this case never would have gotten off the ground. So it appears that the judge attempted to pull a fast one, notify the attorney general's office at an improper address. And of course, they didn't respond because they never received notice. And when they didn't respond, they appointed a criminal defense attorney who entered into a joint motion to resentence this person that had pled guilty 14 years before and knew he was getting a 30-year sentence, and he agreed with that. And they resentenced him to 15 years time served, and he's released. The attorney general's office found out about it after the fact. So they filed a motion with the court to reconsider the resentencing, pointing out that Louisiana law only allows for resentencing within 15 days of the imposition of the original sentence. They waited 14 years to resentence this individual. It's contrary to Louisiana law. The judge denied that request, denied the attempts of the Attorney General's office to intervene in this case. So the Attorney General's office took a writ on the judge, and last week, the Fourth Circuit basically reversed Judge Durbiny and granted the Attorney General's office's writs. They determined that Judge Durbiny improperly appointed a special prosecutor in lieu of the Attorney General's office. They vacated the appointment of the criminal defense attorney that the judge appointed as a special prosecutor because he was unqualified to be a prosecutor because of his status as a practicing criminal defense attorney. The judge also reversed Judge Durbiny's denial of the motion to the attorney general's motion to intervene and reinstated Jared Crowther's original 30-year sentence. So he's back in jail, serving the 30-year sentence that he agreed to serve in 2010 when he pled guilty. And Judge Durbiny is now, on record that, if you didn't know, shame on you, Judge. He's one of the longest tenured judges in criminal district court. Shocking that a judge would appoint a special prosecutor that is not qualified to be a special prosecutor under Louisiana law, and also that the judge ignored that the law only permits for resentencing and reconsideration of a sentence within 15 days of the imposition of the original sentence and waited 14 years. The Fourth Circuit took note of all of that, reversed the judge, and now justice is served. And Mr. Crowther is back in the penitentiary where he belongs.
But, Rafi, let me ask you this question. For me, that's not enough, right? I mean, There should be a sanction for this lawyer. There should be both lawyers, quite frankly. There should be a sanction for the judge. The judge should have asked them to brief the issue. All of this would have been brought out at the trial court. All of it would have been presented to the court before they make that decision. That's the appropriate way to handle this. You don't get the benefit of just pleading ignorance. We elect you to actually read the black letter law. And the beauty of the Fourth Circuit decision, it was done de novo, so they just looked at the black letter law in comparison to the facts, and it, without hesitation, said, doesn't meet the standard of the law by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, of course. So essentially what this was a judicial-sponsored sentence commutation.
That was a bait and switch.
Yep. And it was done in a manner that was contrary to the Louisiana Constitution and statutory authority. And, you know, this is just one case. So in 2024,
this was not a mistake of the heart. This was a mistake of the head. No. This was done knowingly and intentionally. Right.
Absolutely.
And they don't have a defense to this otherwise. And the only way that you're going to get this type of behavior to go away is that the Louisiana Supreme Court and the Bar Association needs to take actions on these individuals so that this type of situation never presents itself again. And Loyola should end their affiliation with that lawyer. I mean, this lawyer is instructing.
I mean, you know,
this lawyer is instructing future lawyers and is participating in a sham on the court. If you were to believe that the judge was totally innocent for a moment, they participated in a sham to the court. It's not like this is really hard to figure out what the Constitution says and what the Code of Criminal Procedure says, right?
I mean, absolutely.
It's right there.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, how many
instances?
They
didn't get away with it. They tried, but they didn't get away with it.
Well, I'd love to ask Judge Durbingney. Well, Judge, how many cases have come before you where a defendant was sentenced 14 years ago that you decide to resentence without any new evidence, without anything,
yep.
with nothing, nada, other than maybe a relationship with some lawyers? I mean, how does this work?
So the defendant was represented not by one criminal defense attorney, but by two. And the second criminal defense attorney was posing as the special prosecutor. So that, you know, the state was denied the opportunity of an adversarial hearing in this because essentially you had two criminal defense attorneys advocating for the defendant and nobody advocating for the people of the state of Louisiana and no one advocating for following the law. And the judge is supposed to be the impartial arbiter of the law, and he failed in his responsibility. So this is, you know, as you pointed out, and I agree completely, it's not just an indictment of the special prosecutor or the criminal defense attorney or the judge. It's by all three.
And that's why we need a Metro Crime Commission. That's why we need a watchdog. That's why we need someone who is keeping eyes on this. And when things like this happen, that they don't go unnoticed.
Well, it gets worse than that. These same players tried to make the AG, when the AG said that she was going to intervene, you know, like she was some two-headed Gila monster that didn't know what she was doing, right? And here we are, the Fourth Circuit embracing every argument that office had to make as it relates to this particular case. They all knew better. I mean, come on.
Well, that's why they didn't want the AG involved.
No, exactly.
Yep. Yep. That's why they were notified at the wrong address. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. This was a plan.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
It wasn't even just like a digit or two off or similar to another address. It was just some fictitious address that was never associated with this individual.
And really, the Attorney General's office, if you just Google it, you know, you can get their address, their phone number.
What is that?
And the judge didn't do any of that.
The internet and Google? What is that? Is that something that's out there?
I know. Yep.
My 11-year-old granddaughter could have seen this train coming and figured it out. I mean, it's just...
Until
there's a sanction and until there's accountability, this does not change. It'll present itself in another fashion. Maybe the AG will recognize it. Maybe the Metropolitan Crime Commission picks up on it, but maybe not.
Yeah, because how many cases a day go before how many judges and how many parishes and how many municipalities, and you can't watch it all. But you're right. Unless there are consequences. All right.
Yep. Well, Rafi, we thank you so much for joining us today. We're doing an abbreviated interview. We've